Wow. Good songs, good songs. Praise God. Why don't you read that and just say it? Because you feel like the Lord gave that to you. I want you to read that. That's just maybe a word for somebody, okay? Just read that.
I don't know. We were singing and something told me to read this verse, Psalms 54. For the director of music with stringed instruments, a maskil of David, when the zephyr had gone to Saul and said, "It is not David hiding among us. Save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your might. Hear my prayer, O God. Listen to the word of my mouth. Strangers are attacking me. Ruthless men seek my life. Me without regard for God? Surely is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Let evil recoil on those who slander me. In your faithfulness, destroy them. I will sacrifice a free will offering to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me from all my troubles, and my eyes have looked in triumph on my foes."
Amen. I'm going to tell you something about that in a minute. Y'all just remember that. Psalm 54, about a prayer and a declaration of vindication and deliverance from enemies and those who slander and do things, try to tear you down or try to tear down what God's doing. We might need to turn me down just a pinch here. I don't know, I'm going to kind of go in a little bit different direction this morning than I anticipated, but I want everybody to turn in their Bibles, turn to Psalm 119 real quick. There's been a lot going on in the spirit realm and a lot going on in the last month or two. And a lot of warfare, a lot of stuff I've been sensing going on in the spirit realm. But something I want to say that I've seen, and I'm going to talk about this morning, but I'm going to talk about the secret rebellion and stubbornness that are in a lot of people's hearts. I'm not talking about sometimes what you always see, but the secret rebellion and stubbornness in people's hearts, and especially in a lot of people that call themselves Christians. This is what's really, and I want to say this morning, I'm going to share this message with you, and it doesn't come from an angry heart or a bitter heart or I want to get them or call down fire on the sinners type thing. And really, as we were singing this morning, it's just my heart is grieved this morning. My heart is heavy for lost people. My heart is heavy for backslidden people who think they're right with God, and they're nowhere even close. My heart is just so grieved and heavy, and this scripture came to my mind. And I know if y'all ever see me now with my phone out in the service, I'm not emailing or texting somebody. I'm looking up some scriptures that came to my mind, and I'm actually doing a search and finding it because I couldn't remember where it was, but I remembered what it said. But in Psalm 119, I want you to go to verse 136. And something, this is something Charles Finney said in revival lectures about when revival will come. He said, when the wickedness of the wicked begins to grieve the Christian. Now, I'm not talking about in a self-righteous way, okay? I'm talking about when it begins to grieve us, when we begin to realize that their blindness, their blind rebellion, their stubbornness, when we start to realize that they're lost and they're hurting themselves and they're hurting people, and we start to grieve over that. And King David said this, and also Jeremiah, and there were others that said things similar to this when they had a burden on their heart for even God's people. Listen, folks, there's a lot of people in church, that are so far away from God, but they think they're not. And this is really beginning to grieve my heart. And but this scripture, Psalm 119, verse 136, David said this here. He said, "Rivers of waters run down my eyes because they keep not thy law. I want you to let that sink in right there. Rivers of waters run down my eyes because they keep not thy law. You know, we have got to let it begin to grip us where people are going to be if they do not obey the gospel. I don't care whether they call themselves Christians or they're just careless sinners in the world. I mean, we've got to let it begin to touch our hearts and change our hearts until we are grieved, until there's rivers of water running down. You know, just singing the songs a minute ago, the tears started coming to my eyes. You know, when we start singing about Jesus shedding his blood on the cross and he rose from the dead, and folks, that's the answer for mankind. That's the only answer, the only thing that will wash their sins away, the only thing that will heal their broken heart, the only thing that will save them from an eternity in hell and damnation, the only thing that will save them is for them to come to Jesus with all of their heart, to turn away from all sin, to give Jesus their whole life, to let him become Lord in everything. And I was sitting there, we were singing that song about being captivated by God, about being deeply in love with Jesus. And folks, I'm just going to tell you, for the most part, the church, Christians are not deeply in love with Jesus. God is deeply in love with us. That is for sure. Or he wouldn't have let himself be spit upon and beaten and whipped and treated like he was, you know, a worm. He wouldn't have let that happen to himself if he didn't love us. And God puts up with so much junk from us, doesn't he? He puts up with so much lukewarmness and complaining and backsliding and wickedness and compromise. And God puts up with it, and he puts up with it, and he puts up with it. And we get it in our minds and hearts that he's supposed to keep putting up with it. I mean, we just get this in our hearts. And the issue has never been, and I said this, I don't know, maybe last week of the world, the issue's never been the question of, does God love us? Do we really love God? Do we really love God? Then does it grieve you when you see Christians say they love God, or they're Christians and they go to this church or they go to that church? Does it grieve you when you see in their life that they are clearly compromised? They are clearly halfway, half-hearted, lukewarm. They're not passionate. They're not about, you know, they're not passionate. Everything else is running their lives. But Jesus is over here in this little room, and they got the rest of their house is for themselves. And I'm just telling you, yesterday is a perfect example of this. I was on, you know, Kevin started something and got me involved in it on Facebook. But I was going back and forth with this girl, and this girl actually really thinks she was a Christian. But she has such a nonchalant attitude about how she lives her life. And she got so angry at me for just quoting the scripture about Jesus saying, if you're lukewarm, I will vomit you out. If you're lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my body. I quoted the scripture, and she called me mean and vile and not worth the time of day. But yet she calls herself a Christian. See, underlying, let me tell you something. Underlying a lot of this stuff, and even in Christian people in church, there's this mean stubbornness. It's, I hear you, preacher. I hear what the Bible says, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do my own thing. There's this secret stubbornness. I know people that go to church, and the preacher even preaches good stuff. And they say, amen. But in their heart, they go, I don't really believe it that way. They got secret rebellion. They got secret stubbornness. And they got their own little secret theology. I've had people even tell me that they agree with me on the issue of once saved, always saved, that it's not true. But yet, in their heart, they think they're a special case. God understands where I am. God understands what I struggle with. God understands what's going on. And they actually create their own secret little theology. God's been speaking to me. I'm telling you, he's been speaking to me about this. The secret lives of American Christians. Secret. The wickedness we hide. We don't admit. We don't confess. And we say amen to the preacher, but we're determined we're going to do it our way. We say, I know the Word of God says this, but, oh boy, when you do that, boy, you're headed down the wrong road. And I'm just looking for some people. I'm looking for some Christians that love God. That love God and love people and say, whatever it takes. Whatever I got to change. Whatever I got to get out of my life. Whatever I got to do. That's the Christian I'm talking about. And this is a scripture. An angel just doesn't know that the scripture the Lord gave her is what the Lord, is the scripture God gave me this morning that kind of changed the direction of this. I want you to turn to Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel was a prophet called by God that God told him, nobody's going to listen to you, but I'm going to send you to the house of Israel. But they're not going to listen. How would you like that calling? I'm going to send you to speak to the rebellious house of Israel. They're not going to listen to you, but you got to go anyway. Chapter 33. This is the scripture God gave me this morning, and I believe it's both personal, but there's some things that God wants to say out of this about this stubbornness that's in the people of God, this secret rebellion and stubbornness. You know, the Bible says in the book of Judges, and we may turn there in a minute, that the people of God who came up after Joshua, the generation that came up after him, didn't really know the Lord as intimately as Moses and Joshua's generation. And it says they didn't know the Lord as intimately. And it said, and it ended up being every man doing what was right in his own eyes. Boy, are we ever there in the Christian world now. It's not what the Bible says. It's not what your pastor or your leaders say anymore. It's what you want to do, what you want to believe. Everybody's their own little maverick, their own little lone ranger. I mean, it's really unreal. It's been bad for the last 20 years, but I think now it's worse than ever. And I want to read this. What he says here. Of course, Ezekiel was preaching against their sins, and they weren't happy about that. And verse 30, God speaks to him and tells him a little secret. He says, also, you son of man, the children of your people are still talking against you by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, everyone to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word from the Lord, or that comes forth from the Lord. And they come unto you as the people come, and they sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goes after their covetous, or what they want. And you are unto them as a very lovely song, and as one that has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do them not. And when this comes to pass, and he was talking about the judgment that was about to come, he said, and when this comes to pass, and he says, lo, it will come, and they will know that a prophet has been among them. There's this, and what God was revealing to Ezekiel was that even though the people come to you and they listen, and I want to say this up front, I'm not jumping on y'all this morning because I really think y'all want to hear this stuff. But I know, I'm just telling you, I'm running into more and more people. I have been called simply by standing up for the truth and for righteousness and for what's right. And calling people on it and confronting people at times. And I'm talking about Christian people. I've been called a liar. I've been called vile. I've been called, this is one of them, is pure evil. A false prophet, I've been called. And I'm sitting here going, what have I done? I've just basically said you can't be a fornicator and a drunkard and a liar and and go to heaven. It's amazing if you start telling the truth plainly, the persecution that will arise even among God's people. But here we got the picture, and I wanted you to see this picture. And I mean, churches are full of this today, this morning. They come to church, they fill up the church, they come to hear what's the word from the Lord today. And they may even hear a good message that calls for repentance.